Welcome to the Release City Church podcast. We hope this message today inspires you, strengthens your faith, and helps give you perspective to see how God is moving in your life. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Amen, amen. Let's say it together. Say, the way to be great is to be great at serving. Let's say that again. The way to be great is to be great at serving. If you brought your Bibles this morning, you ready to get in the Word? Let's do it. Let's do it. Go with me to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 19. Book of Luke, chapter 19. Now, as soon as we get into this story, some of you are going to be like, hey, this story is really familiar, especially if you were here just a few weeks ago. We dove into this story and we looked at it a different way. And the cool thing about God is I believe he places stories within a story. And that's what he told me. He said, I want you to go back to Luke 19. And there's going to be a story within the story that everyone is familiar with. So we're going to start with verse 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. If you brought your Bibles, great. If you don't have your Bible, or you should have gotten your service back in the middle of the night. Those of us that are Verizon wireless carrier, yeah. That was crazy. And I saw people freaking out all over the place and what's going on with Verizon. I thought, you know what, how would we have survived, and some of us did, without a cellular device? You know what I'm saying? So it's all good. You woke up and still made it to church today. Amen. Amen. So Luke chapter 19, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be provided for you there on the screen, the verses. All right, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. Everybody say, through the town. He was just passing through. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Yeah, no kidding. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short. Everybody say, too short. He was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy, but the people were displeased. I want to speak to you today for the next few moments from this subject, simply this: called to be great. Called to be great. Or you can say it this way to make it personal. I've been called to be great. Lean over and tell your neighbor, say, God is calling you to be great. Yep. Now lean over to the next person beside you that you haven't talked to at all this morning and tell that your second choice, and tell them, say, there is greatness on the inside of you. Yep. I think for every person on the planet, we all have on the inside of us, if we're honest, we all have this deep desire on the inside to be great. When I wake up every morning, I want my day to be great. Anybody else? Every day when I wake, I want to be great at whatever it is that I do. I do not wake up and go, man, I hope today sucks for me. You know, I want to be successful at whatever it is. I want to be great at whatever it is. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's a single person on the planet who wakes up and says, I hope I fail today. Matter of fact, I don't think there's any football team that plants their feet on turf, even Florida State, that would look and go, I hope that I suck this season. I told y'all what I was trying not to go back and reach back into the game day thing, but it just snuck out. But it's true. I don't think anybody, we're in the game of life. We're on the field of the game of life, and that we should never wake up and go, well, today is going to be, I'm going to stop saying that word because some of y'all are getting really uncomfortable. Get over it. Anyway, I don't think anybody wakes up and goes, I want to fail today. You know, some people, actually there are people who base their today, whatever they're going to do, they base how they're going to do at today based on how they did yesterday. When those players are on the field, they don't look, and I watch this on lots of different interviews from coaches, on to the next. You heard them say that, we're on to the next. Even if you get the W, we're on to the next. If you mess up in life, brush yourself off. Say, God, I apologize for that. I made that mistake. That was on me. Thank you for getting me through that. But today, tomorrow is another day. On to the next. Somebody say, on to the next. The point I'm trying to make is this. It does not matter who you are. We all have this desire on the inside of us to be great. Do you know why we have the desire to be great? Because when God created you and I, He wired us to be great. The reason you desire to be great at your job, the reason you desire to be a great husband, to be a great wife, to be a great parent, the reason you want to be great at it is because you were designed and wired to be great. As I began preparing for this message, I had this thought: what does being great look like in the kingdom? Maybe you want to write that down. What does being great look like in the kingdom? Because I gotta go. I cannot get these two to function together today. I gotta tell you that the difference between kingdom greatness and being great in the world look entirely and completely opposite. What does greatness look like for the believer? Those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ or call ourselves Christians, how should greatness look on us? Greatness in the world is having accolades. Greatness in the world is having fame, fortune, having all the boats and the four-wheelers and all of the toys and all those things. But in the kingdom, what does greatness truly look like? Because all of those things I listed, that looks like greatness, but in the world we call that I'm successful. But the way the world looks at success and the way the kingdom and God looks at success is completely and entirely different. And the reason we're going here today is because the truth is greatness in the kingdom is defined much differently than it is in the world. In today's talk, I want to give you three truths. Just in the next few moments, I want to give you three truths that you need to know about greatness. And the first one is super simple, because if we're all honest in the room, we all want to be great. That's your point number one. We all want to be great. Here's the question. How are we defining greatness? How do you define greatness? What does that look like? How do you define it? Do you want to be seen as great in man's eyes, or do you actually want to be great and seen as great in God's eyes? What a tragedy it would be if I lived my entire life thinking that I was great, and then I get to heaven and I stand before God and He says, actually, Bradley, you weren't so great. How do you define greatness? Let me ask this. How many want to fail in life? How many want your marriage to fail? How many want your kids to fail? Not a single person. You want them to be what? You want them to be great. So we have that in common. So what does greatness look like for us? Because a lot of people, I know way back in the day, it was like, well, you got to suffer for Jesus. The poorer you are, the holy you are. No. And people are like, well, if you just get too great, then you get too cocky and arrogant. No, there is a balance. And what does greatness look like in the kingdom? The Bible defines greatness this way. If you'll turn with me real quick to Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, just one verse. I'll read it if you don't have time to turn there. This is how the Bible defines greatness. He says, the greatest among you must be a what? A servant. And then Jesus takes it a little bit further in Mark chapter 10, verse 43. And he says this. He said, this is the words of Jesus. Don't shoot the messenger. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Wait. You mean to tell me as a follower of Jesus, my definition of being great has to be different than the world's definition? Absolutely. Basically, what Jesus was saying here in those two verses, those two books, is I don't care what they're doing among you, among Release City Church, among whatever group that you call yourself, as followers of Jesus, it must, everybody say must. It must be and look different. Let me just keep on reading Mark chapter 10, verse 44. And says, and he goes on to say, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life. Everybody say, give it away. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, I get it if you're hearing this for the very first time and you're probably thinking, this makes absolutely no sense because you've been programmed by society of what greatness truly looks like. The way I know that is by what we go after in this thing, this game called life. I was asking this question several times just a few series ago, and I said, what are you living for? I can tell what you think greatness is based on what you're living for. What are you going to work for? For the paycheck, to pay the bills, to buy the toys, to do the things? Whatever you're living for defines how you view greatness. Based on mainstream America being great and how God calls greatness, is backwards. It's upside down. The key to me being great is my obedience and willingness to serve. It's so funny. It's funny in my head. I know I'm labeled the edgy pastor, but that would have been, you'd have been like, that was sharp. Listen, I thought the key to greatness was me posting on Instagram 5 times a day. I thought the key to greatness was being in the room and shaking the right hand so I could get the promotion. Y'all, anybody ever played that game? You're trying to rub elbows with that crowd so that you can get in there and be noticed. Let me tell you something. When you take on a servant's heart, let me stop right there. Let me say it this way. The only person that you need to be concerned with noticing you is God. He will open the doors. He will open the doors to rooms that you belong to. And if the door stays shut, that room is not for you. I know, I remember working at Intercall, and I moved through the ranks super fast, and I was a supervisor, and I stayed a supervisor for a long, long time, and had lots of opportunities to travel and do those things, London and all around over the U.S. because of the call centers that we purchased. But I had a desire to be, I wanted to be a manager. And I remember thinking, man, I've been in this company for over 10 years. I'm gonna ace this interview. And do you know they hired somebody else who had only been at the company for just a few weeks? And his being put there was very questionable, but it's because he knew somebody. If we responded in life because of who we know and let God open the doors for rooms that we belong in, because after a while, God keeping the door closed, but you keep push. Eventually, he's going to move out of the way and let you fall into that room and fall flat on your face. I've been there too. I pushed the door open for relationships. I pushed the door into a marriage that I never should have been in. Anybody else? Oh my gosh, that pastor was divorced? Yeah, sure was. Beyond my situation, completely beyond my control. But it was because I wanted what I wanted. He'll let you have what you want, but what you think you need ain't exactly it. Somebody say it ain't it. But I thought the key to greatness was changing jobs so I could make more money. See, the world will tell you that the key to greatness is all of those other things when Jesus said you must serve in order to be seen as great. Question, anybody in the room like to play games on their phones? I'm talking like there was one, I don't play it anymore, but it was where you could, I've always had this passion to fly airplanes, and so there was this game, I don't even remember what it was called, but you could like fly this jumbo jet. I mean, it went all the way down to the details of learning how to do the flaps. And then when you run out of gas, it tells you how to compensate. And then if you're going to wreck it, if your plane's going down, it teaches you how to dump the fuel out of the wings. Like, it was really cool. But it came a point, like, it was free to download the game. It was free to play. But if you wanted to be great at that game, there was a button that said, it's going to cost you. Who am I talking to? Y'all know about anybody ever pay? I've actually paid to play. I've actually paid to be great. I paid because I wanted to see my name on the leaderboard. Right? See, what I found to be very interesting as I began studying this story of Zacchaeus, watch me now. As I began digging deeper into this story, I found out that in Bible days, the right to collect taxes in a Roman-controlled region was essentially a contracted person or a farmed-out person to the highest bidder. In other words, Zacchaeus had to pay money to be the chief tax collector. He had to pay money to get in. Let's say it together. He paid to be great. What does that mean? People in the region would actually pay money to become the tax collector. Could it be that Zacchaeus was picked on as a little boy? Even as an adult, we know he was what? A wee little man. And maybe he got to a point where he said, you know what? I'm tired of being picked on. So I'm going to pay money. I'm going to invest a portion of me into something so that I can have control and I can be seen as great, even though I'm a wee little man. That blew my mind that he had to pay for the position that he was in. Nudge your neighbor's tail and say, nothing in life is free. Think about your own life. In what areas are you willing to pay to be great? What areas of your life are you willing to sacrifice and go, I don't care what it costs me, I'm going to be great at this. Zacchaeus said, I'm willing to pay to finally have everyone see me as great. By Rome's standards, he was seen as great. He had the money. By God's standards, Zacchaeus was lacking, and here's why. God's definition of greatness isn't climbing higher. God's definition of greatness is going lower. What does that mean? It means that God is not impressed that you got that promotion. There's nothing wrong with being successful. Don't that preacher's, he just wants us to just no success. Don't even go further your education. I'm not saying that. That's what you're hearing. You want to be offended. Whatever you're looking for, you'll always find it. So if you're offended, that means you were looking for an offense. May God have mercy and grace on you. God is not impressed that you've got over 10,000 followers on TikTok. God is not impressed that you've managed the algorithm so your stuff gets seen first, so people will think you're great. Remember what I said? The way the world sees greatness and the way the kingdom sees greatness is completely opposite. Why? Because with God, it's not about how high you climb, it's about how low you can get. How low can you go? Limbo. What that means is, this is what I want to ask you. Does the promotion change your heart? Does the increase in your pay change your attitude towards the other people around you? Does the rise to power change your heart or your temperament? Now, because you get paid more, is tithing now seen as, it's going to be tough to tithe now because I make more money? Real quiet up in here. That promotion, you got a promotion, but do you still have time to serve in God's house? When something takes you out of God's house, and I'm not saying, some people work on Sunday, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if something shifts in your heart and the first thing you want to do is tap out of church, that's a dangerous place to be. Because the thing that I need to stand on is Him. It's Him. Let me talk to all the men in the room. Now that you got that promotion, now that your business is booming, do you still have the same amount of time or less time to spend with your wife and your kids? I know we live in a fast-paced society, and the enemy will keep running up. He'll keep throwing stuff on the field so that you get bombarded. Remember what the scripture said in Matthew, that the greatest among you must be a servant. Then we read in Mark, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. What am I saying? Simply this, Jesus set the standard for greatness. Jesus set the standard for greatness. Here's what I mean. Everything that you and I know about Jesus is because he chose to come down. Remember what I said. The society and the world says greatness is how high you can climb. Jesus says, how low can you go? What we know about Jesus, everything that we know about him, all started because he made a choice to come down. Think about it. Let me ask you this. The fact that we're gathered in this room today, and the fact that you even know who Jesus is because of the decision that he made to come down. Everything we know about him is about getting lower. Think about this. When Jesus would heal people, what would be one of the first things he would say after the healing? Shh, don't tell anybody. What do? We pray for somebody with a headache. 2 days later, they come back to work. Man, my headache's gone. And we go to the print shop and we get some business cards for our healing ministry. My friend, they probably took Tylenol and it worked. I'm gonna give you an example. If he's still in the room, I haven't made eye contact, but I heard he's here, and I'm gonna show you what real healing looks like. And I'm not knocking that. You pray about everything, but I'm just saying what we do is we're trying to be great in man's eyes, and we could care less how God sees us. Church, that should not be. Amen. Jesus would heal them and say, "Don't tell anybody." I love the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000, and then he went on to preach the Sermon on the Mount. Listen, the Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' response to all the people who were following him. This was basically Jesus saying, wait, I've got to make sure that you're clear on the cost. Everybody wanted to follow Jesus. He's feeding people. He's turning water into wine. He's blowing up the parties, y'all. He'd show up at funerals, and people would come out. Amen. They'd just be raised up. Amen. They'd be like, Jesus is dope. Listen, everything we know about Jesus is because he chose to come down. It brings me to my second thing that we need to understand about greatness. And here it is, number two. The cost of greatness is humility. The cost of greatness is humility. I saw this lived out every day of my life through the life of Dad and Robin. Those of you that knew our parents, you knew that's how they lived. They servant's heart. Dad would be up here preaching. He'd be cleaning toilets during the week. Up here preaching the next Sunday, he'd be cutting the grass out of the little white church. Listen, you thought the cost of being great was the grind. You thought the cost of greatness was working harder. You thought the cost of greatness was putting in more hours. No, the real cost of greatness is being humble, humility. The part of this story that I want us to lean into just for a few more moments is found in verse 5 of Luke 19. It says, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick. What'd he say? No, but after that, what'd he say? Is it not up there for y'all? He said, quick, come down. See, I set y'all up. It wasn't even up there. And Connor couldn't type that fast enough for y'all. See, a lot of people focus on the fact that Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. And I do too. I love the fact that Jesus knows us at a personal level. But what struck me even more about this was the fact that Jesus said, quick, come down. What I'm trying to get you to see is with this simple instruction, Jesus didn't just invite Zacchaeus down from a tree. He invited Zacchaeus down into greatness. You may be thinking, Pastor B, how do I know if I need to come down in a certain area of my life? How do I know if I'm climbed up in a tree? How do I know if I've ran ahead of God? Because Zacchaeus was not only high in a tree, but he was also high in status. He was the chief tax collector. He had built this life. He had done all these things. And he finds himself in a tree just trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. And the first thing Jesus tells him, once he sees Zacchaeus and gets Zacchaeus' attention, he says, come down. So let's go back to the question. You may be wondering, how do I know if I'm in a high place that I need to come down from? How do I know, Pastor B? It's somewhere that you ran ahead of God. That's it. That's not deep. But think about it. How do you know if there's an area that God is calling you down from? It would be an area that you have ran ahead of God. It would have been that room that I ran into that I had to basically kick and knock the door down and step into a room that was never designed for me. Can I tell you something? Young people, listen, look, I know you're taking notes and I'm so proud of y'all. Check this out. You should never want to be in a relationship with someone that God doesn't want for you. Now you can write that down. I should never want or desire a relationship that God doesn't want for me. Adults, we should never want a job. We should never want to live in a house. We should never want the things that we think we have to have that God doesn't want for us. Remember what I said, he'll let you have them, but there's consequences for every choice we make. And the church said, amen. Luke 19:4. Let me back it up. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Jesus was moving, and Zacchaeus thought it was necessary to run ahead of him. Same thing for us. We could have paid cash for the land, which we have. And we could have ran way out in front of God and just started lining up all these contractors and line up. We actually did. We actually did meet with a general contractor. And I mean, it was the same day. Y'all probably heard this. Same day that we paid cash and signed for the papers. Dude, I was like, chest out to here, like, yes, God is awesome. We did this thing. That exact afternoon, we went to show up at a contractor's place and saw the price tag, and it was like somebody took and went, bam, right in Pastor B's stomach. I walked, I was like, there ain't no way. Ain't no way. What did I do? I was ready to move. Man, Dad's been renting places for all these years. It's time for us to have our own place. It is time. Amen? But it's when God says pull the trigger. Oh, we are so close, y'all. We are so close. We've already approved the final floor plans. He's working on the exterior right now. I cannot wait. I haven't even seen the 3D version of what the outside is going to look like. But I'm telling you, this dude, our architect, no disrespect to Jason Saitaki, he is phenomenal. And I can't wait for you to see what he's doing for you. But we can't afford to run out in front of God and try to make and move and shift things and make it happen. You can't afford to move your family into regions or be a part of other relationships or other things that God never designed or wants for your life. It will lead to destruction. Jesus was moving and Zacchaeus thought it was necessary to get out ahead of him. Here's the question. In what area of your life are you running ahead of God? If you don't have an answer, write it down. If you don't have an answer, write the question down. In what area of my life? And come back to it later this afternoon, because I know you're looking back over your notes on Sunday afternoons. In what area of my life have I ran ahead of God? Running ahead of God's instruction, running ahead of God's wisdom, running ahead of what God told you before. Can I tell you one thing about God? He does not change his mind. Because that would mean God is fickle. And we have this jaded perception. We're so Christian. We're like, we try to run out in front of God and run into rooms, and then we're like, well, and it's clearly not a room for us. God must have changed his mind. No, he never changed his mind. He just let you get what you wanted. Am I talking to anybody in here today? Here's the big one. Running ahead of what you thought your life should look like. Go, because some of us are really good at keeping at planning out and structuring and putting the bullet points of our life. And we're really, some of y'all in this room are really good at that. Running ahead of God because you have the idea of what you think your life should look like. Here's something to remember. The tree itself, the tree that Zacchaeus climbed up into, the tree itself was not a bad idea. The tree was not bad. It would have been Zacchaeus choosing to stay in the tree that would have been the problem. Did you follow me? See, for me, all you see is me up here following the call of God on my life, that God placed on my life many, many, many years ago when I was just a little bitty guy. All you see is where I am now. Some of you guys missed the years where I was running ahead of God. Because I knew God called me, I thought I knew where he was calling me to. Well, surely this is where you want me to be. I pushed on doors. Somebody had to push real hard on. I just turned. It was unlocked for somebody else, but I just turned the knob, walked in the room, and fell right on my face. Ever been there? There came a point where I had to come down from this idea of what I thought my life was supposed to look like so that I could one day step into the greatness that God had for me. Can I tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am exactly right where God has called me to be, where he's called our family to be? Never a doubt in my mind. My question to you is this morning, in the few moments that we have left, are you willing to come down from the idea of your life that you have in your head? Zacchaeus had built this idea of his life, and Jesus invited him to come down from that idea into greatness. What's that look like? It's laying down your status. It's laying down your ego. It's laying down your wealth. It's laying down what you think you should be able to do. For some of you, you're probably thinking, but what will people think if I make such a drastic decision just like that when I've always done it this way and all of a sudden I do it this way? Can I tell you something? Quick, come down. If you're worried about what everybody else is going to think, quick, come down. Because delayed obedience is still disobedience. I love that and I say it all the time. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. Are you willing to come down? Are you willing to get low? Are you willing to do the hard thing? I'm telling you, it's hard to change your mind and let everybody else see. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. Oh, come on, come hang out with us. I can't. Why not? I say it all the time. That group of people might not be bad people, but what they're doing is bad for you. See, that's the problem with the church for years. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Making us feel like we're better than them. If it was not for God, where would I be? It's not that they're bad. They're just not good for you. What will people think? What will people say? Listen, are you willing to come down? Are you willing to get low? Are you willing to do the hard thing? God is screaming at you today. I believe this for some of y'all in this room because he's been calling your name, asking you to come down from where you are. Come down is the way you come up. Coming down is the way you come. When Zacchaeus made the steps down from the tree, that in that moment is when he came. Listen, it's when he came up. I got to bring this thing down. Everybody say, bring it down. I know, that's the most y'all have talked to me all morning. I'm telling you guys, I had this idea of what following the call was going to cost me up until I realized I had no idea what it cost to be great. I had created this narrative of what I thought, how God was going to use me in greatness. And God had to invite me out of my narrative and into His greatness. You want to be great at your job? In closing, let me start bringing it down. You want to be great at your job? Don't tune me out, though. Don't tune me out. Look for the tree you need to come down from. You want to be great at your job? Look for the tree that you need to come down from. What's that mean? Maybe your next promotion on that job is attached to you coming out of your pride and being the solution for the problem that you always find yourself complaining about. Did you hear me? I say it all the time. God has put you right where you are for a reason. Instead of being like everybody else complaining about the situation, complaining about the culture, be the one to make a change in the culture. That's what coming down looks like. Maybe the solution to all the drama in your family is you coming down from your ego and actually being the one to bring everybody together. Anybody got family drama? You're like, I'm going to ask again. Anybody had family drama in your life? Yeah. Yeah. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Because you alive, you say, ain't no drama in my family. If that's the case, somebody in another side of town is talking about you. Because you the drama. Maybe the greatness that you're searching for in your finances is you actually getting to a place coming down from your pride, coming down from your ego and saying, you know what? I don't have a clue what I'm doing with my money. Will somebody help me? And at Release City Church, we're trying to do that. Financial peace starts in just a couple weeks. Can't get your finances under control? That fee, whatever that fee is, that's not coming to Release City. That's going straight for the books. It has nothing to do with us. We're just opening up the doors, and Adam's and Sarah's taking their time to walk through this thing with you, something that they've lived out since they've been married. Say, quick, quick, come down. Here's the most beautiful part of that story. Zacchaeus' proximity to greatness quickly helped, coming down quickly helped him realize that greatness wasn't found in anything that he had obtained. The world says greatness can be found in what I can see that I have. The kingdom says you're great when you can see who you have. Your life of greatness begins when you quickly obey. Here's the third and final truth. Number one, we all want to be great. Number two, the cost of greatness is humility. Number three, humility requires coming down. Humility requires it. It demands it. Let me say it this way. You cannot be humble without getting low. That's called false humility. Here's what you got to understand about humility, and I'm almost done. Humility isn't something that God pours into you when you ask for it. If you want to be more humble, listen, then what you're going to have to experience is more opportunities to choose humility. It's not God, pour humbleness in me. It's when I face a situation, what's the situation? When you show up at work tomorrow and that one person that gets under your nerves starts bumping their gums and you turn around and look sideways at them because you got something you want to say to them and you choose humility over what you think you have the right to say to them. That's Pastor B when he's at the red light. Y'all know the story. When I always want to go for my button that rolls my window down and talk to the person to my left for cutting me off back in traffic. And instead, I roll my window down and go, I hope you have a great day. And roll it back up. It's choosing humility. Lastly, when your status or anything that you achieve in life, you do it without God, you block the greatness of God on your life. Anything that you do that you find success in, that you got there without His help, you did it on your own, you're blocking the greatness of God on your life. Zacchaeus could have chose to stay in that tree. I see Jesus, but I'm good with where I am. Everything changed through his obedience to quick come down. As a matter of fact, he even went further and said, if I wronged anybody, if I took anybody's, whatever I took that I shouldn't have taken financially, I'll give it back four times. Humble, humility. The change can happen in you. Amen? I think the reason that most Christians are living exhausted and tired is because what they're building in their own strength, they found that they have to sustain it in their own strength. But what you build with God's strength and with God's help, you're not required to do anything to sustain it. I'm talking to myself right now. This is not mine. You don't belong to me. All I got to do is come up every week and share from a place of vulnerability, realness, not pretending to have my stuff together because I don't. And watch what God does with His church. So if you're here today and you say, you know what? I've got some areas that I need. Adam, get ready because you're going to do the closing prayer. You got some areas in your life, and God just pointed some of them out as we went through this story, that you know you need to come down from. Some things that you've been doing it your way. Some things that you've built, and now you're freaking out trying to sustain it. And God is saying, if you'll build it with me, you can leave the sustaining power to me. Did you hear that? If you'll build it with me, you can leave. You don't have to do anything to sustain it. I got you. Anybody here today that would just be willing to stand and go, Pastor B, will y'all pray for me today? There's some things in my life that are out of balance. And right now, I want to make a change. Quick, come down. Anybody here in the room? 1, 2, 3. Or you can come all the way to the altar. That's fine too. All the way down. Come on. My man just came up. He said, I'm coming to the front. Anybody else? What's your name? I don't even know who you are. Chase? You made the right decision today, my friend. Anybody else want to come say, let me say it this way. Coming down requires you to move from where you are into His greatness. Zacchaeus could have said, oh, I hear you, Jesus, but I got to stay right here because I can't see you if I come down because I'm short. So, Father, right now for my friends, I thank you for my friends. God, I ask in the name of Jesus, whatever it is, Father, that you would give them the strength to rely on you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, they've answered the call. They're quickly coming down. They're quickly coming down in the name of Jesus. 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 Watch my levels. In the name of Jesus. 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 Quick, come down. Quick, come down. Quick, come down. I got you. I got you. In the name of Jesus. 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 With hands stretched up all over this building to heaven, we say, all to Jesus. Come on, everybody in the room. All to Jesus, I surrender. Not my way, not my will, but yours. In Jesus' name. My friends, you have been called to be great. Do you believe it this morning? Give Jesus Christ a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Just before he comes, I'm almost done. There's no more message. Is Ethan in the building? Where's he at? Ethan, get up here, my friend. Come all the way around. Yeah, all the way. There you go. There you go. So y'all know we've been praying for Ethan. Doctors can't explain it. Every test came back. Tests that were positive came back negative. Bring your mic up here, Adam. I reached out to his mom and dad the other day. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. What day did you leave the hospital? Monday. I reached out and it was Tuesday. I was at the print shop and I said, hey, how's Ethan? Did you guys get released? And he said, oh yeah. And we got released yesterday on Monday and he's actually at school today. Won't he do it? Tell them what you thought about them praying for you that day that your dad came.
When you guys were praying for me, I cried with tears. I really cried.
And what'd you tell the nurses and the doctors about when they couldn't do the procedure because everything had shrunk? And you said?
So when they saw the picture, they were amazed and they couldn't find a good place to poke me, put me to sleep, because it went from this to this in the trunk.
And who healed you? Who healed you?
God the Father, am I.
So proud of this young man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, if you don't believe that God answers prayer, I'm telling you what, we believe that God is still in the business of healing, and we're going to always, it doesn't matter what it is, you got a headache, we're still going to pray for you. You take your Tylenol, we're still going to pray for you. Amen? Amen. Love you, Ethan. Y'all give it up one more time.
Thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel, or you can also check out previous messages from our live worship experiences. If you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City or to just stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, we believe the best is yet to come.